Hey, Story Pillar friends.
It's me, Meg.
Grown-ups,
if you love the news, most of the time anyway,
and want your kids to love the news too, check out Newsy Paloozy, a news podcast for smart kids and curious adults.
Host Leela and her mom Lindy cover everything from the top science news to the latest in tech, arts, culture, sports, and plenty of oddball news from every corner of the globe. Find more information at newsypaloozy.com and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, ready for the show? Hey, I'm so happy you're back. I'm Meg, a human person. And that's Sparky. She's our giant chicken that appears to be stuck in a ginormous bag of celery.
Sly celery snatcher.
And that's Sneak. He's a caterpillar with red sneakers who seems to be really serious about his vegetables today.
Alert the veggie police, Meg! Super caterpillar pogo toes activate!
Well, I didn't know he could do that.
Oh, hey Bean. Do you know why Sneak and Sparky are sword fighting with celery sticks?
I think it has something to do with Cactus's birthday surprise, my class's pet hedgehog, and they're kind of obsessed with making her a present.
Got it. Well, let's finish introductions, and then maybe we can figure out what's going on during the feelings check-in. Ready?
Hey, I'm Bean. I'm a butterfly with a yellow hat, that doesn't have celery stuck in my ears.
Speak up, Buttercup! I can't hear you!
Okay, now that you know who we are, this is
Story Pillar. Pillar.
Celery Pillar! Swoosh! Clank swoosh!
I feel a story coming on. Wonder where we'll end up today. We'll blast around the world. We'll sneak and be leading the way. Go, Story Pillar. We're in this together. No stopping us. Full speed ahead. Go, Story Pillar. Shake it up a little. Make cloudy skies brighter with friends.
Hey everyone, welcome to the fifth episode of Story Pillar Season 3. This is a podcast where we tackle sticky situations, explore stories from all over the world, and pick up advice from you, our listeners.
And secure the safety of every sweet celery stalk in the Galactiverse!
Maybe we'll just, like, put these in here for a bit.
My crunchy green baby sticks locked in the refrigerator of doom. Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe your celery can, like, cuddle with the tomatoes or something while you and Sparky, like, figure this out.
Good idea, Bean. Let's check in with our listeners and Sneak and Sparky and find out what sticky situation we're tackling this week. Listeners, how are you feeling today?
Hear all that chanting? Everybody loud and proud! Free our celery! Free our celery! Free our celery!
Okay, before we have a full-blown veggie protest march on our hands, why don't you and Sparky tell us what's going on?
I'll try, French fry.
Sparky and me are making Cactus a teeny-weeny hedgehog-sized skateboard for her birthday. And I said we should make it out of celery sticks so she can skate and snack at the same time. Like, scoot, crunch, scoot, crunch. But Sparky said that was as silly as a sock on a salamander.
Oh, I've been, like, practicing my giant chicken. Ready, Sparky? She says, because I wanted to make it out of, bicycle chips? Oh, popsicle sticks.
But that's so boring, snoring. You take that back right now, little Miss Chicky Face.
Okay, I'm sorry you two are at odds right now, but I do think we have our sticky situation for the week. What do you do when someone shoots down your idea?
Wait a sweet slimy second. Does this mean it's story time?
Yep. This week, we're traveling to the Basque Country in Western Europe. It's an area in northern Spain and southern France that's surrounded by the Bay of Biscay to the north, the Pyrenees Mountains to the east, the Cantabrian Mountains to the west, and the Bardenas Reales Desert to the south.
Euskara, the Basque language, isn't related to Spanish or French, but like has been spoken in the Basque Country for thousands of years. Oh, and throughout history, Basque sailors were known as being like the best ever, and they likely made it to the Americas before Christopher Columbus did it in 1492.
And Basque Country even has this amazing little critter called the Pyrenean Desmond that I talked all about on my sneak attack last week. They kind of look like a baby hedgehog glued to a rat with a teeny weeny hammer taped on the end of its nose. And their mini hammer noses are covered with tiny sensory hairs that they use to detect fish and other yummy bummy snacks. Kinda like the star-nosed mole from episode 2.8. Gnarly nose hair heroes unite!
As Bean said, many people in the Basque Country speak Euskara. And I'm pretty sure that Kaixo is one way of saying hello. Wanna try?
Kaixo!
Kaixo.
Yep, listeners, your turn. Sounds good. Oh, and we're also going to hear Aita in our story today, which means father in Euskara. Maybe try that one too.
Aita.
Aita.
Okay, rocket time sneak.
Fasten your sewing spoons, baby. And countdown.
3, 2, 1. Blast off.
The Story Queen by Megan Cahill Asenza and Meg Lewis, adapted from a Basque folktale. The moment Princess Laia's feet touch the sand, she tosses her satchel aside and charges toward the water.
Come on, Stubby! Race ya!
She shouts to the plump green lizard close on her heels, then plunges in and feels the Bay of Biscay urging
Stubby.
Her to swim along.
First one at Turtle Rock wins!
But before the cool waves can actually whisk her away, Laia's imagination dives into another world.
Turtle Rock. What if... Where's my pencil?
She splashes from the sea, rescuing Stubby from a slimy tangle of seaweed, and pulls a notebook from her bag. Careful not to drip on one of the few blank pages, she begins to write,
Mari, the all-powerful Earth Goddess, planted her feet in the sand and stared down the dragon, belching flames over the waves.
Not today, lava breath!
She flicked her flowered cape out behind her, instantly transforming every shell it touched into fierce warriors armed for battle. The terrible dragon dove deep, and the roar of 1,000 thunderstorms filled the air as a fiery turtle the size of a mountain rose from the sea, lava burning bright in its eyes.
Princesa! Princesa, where have you run off to this time?
Laia's pencil slips from her hand and bounces off Stubby's nose.
Oops, sorry.
She glances at the red-faced woman squawking Princesa. Like a seagull from atop the next dune.
I'm coming!
Ugh, that was supposed to be the final battle.
Kaboom! Take that, Fireface!
Oh well. Come on, Stubby buddy.
She scoops her wriggly friend onto her shoulder, and with that, girl and lizard turn their backs on the sea and all its fantastic beasts and trudge toward the spidery castle, tickling the very top of the azure blue sky. Mm-hmm. As Laia steps into the castle's grand foyer, sunlight streams through the stained glass windows. Her older sister, Nerea, glares. Her younger sister, Isaro, giggles. And Doña Olano, her nursemaid, clucks like an exasperated mother hen.
Quickly, quickly now. Your father wants to see you. Now, Orain.
No, like this he doesn't.
Nerea wrinkles her nose at Isaro's muddy dress and brownish green knees.
What were you doing? Wrestling with the pigs?
Ugh. No, little Miss Boring Boots. I was in the garden collecting friends. See?
Isaro holds a small pot of squirming earthworms an inch below her sister's nose. Stubby licks his lips.
Ew, knock it off.
Nerea tugs Isaro toward the waiting bath.
And come with me before Aita moves your bed to the pig pen for good.
Laia watches her sisters scamper up the stairs, then turns to Doña Olano with bright eyes.
Wait, Aita is back?
Yes, Chiki. Quichuna, did you forget your hat again?
Maybe?
Laia hides a smile behind Stubby's scaly back.
Well, looks like the sun kissed you this time instead of frying you like an egg.
Doña Olano gives her a kiss on each rosy cheek.
Now go, wash up and get dressed.
Long after, the freshly scrubbed princesses stand shoulder to shoulder, twitching with impatience. Suddenly, a tall man with a perfectly curled mustache bursts into the cavernous room.
Aita!
The girls race toward their father's outstretched arms.
My girls!
The king catches them all at once.
We missed you, Aita!
Laia rubs her cheek against his bristly chin.
What did you bring us, Aita? Isaro!
Barkalu, sorry, Aita!
Nerea pinches her sister's arm, but the king merely pulls the excited trio onto his lap.
Girls, come. I have something to tell you.
You saw monkeys on your trip?
No. Just the three little monkeys right here.
He pinches his youngest daughter's cheek.
I am not a monkey, father. I am a princess.
Why? Exactly, Nerea. My daughters are blossoming into resilient and capable young women who just might be ready for the challenge of...
He leans forward, eyes twinkling.
Being queen!
Queen?
Whoever brings me the most indispensable gift, something so magnificent no ruler could ever do without it, will become queen.
He winks and plants a kiss on each of their noses.
Now off with you, my little monkey princesses, and tomorrow we shall see just what queenly gifts you have to offer.
Isaro and Nerea charge for the door, nostrils flaring like rampant bulls.
Make way for the queen!
I don't think so, Cherikume. Little pigs can't be queen.
Queen pigs?
Laia sidesteps their tussle and plucks Stubby from a potted plant.
I know the perfect gift, but shh, don't tell Aita before tomorrow. I just know he's going to love it.
The next morning, the three princesses tumble into the throne room, still smelling of sleep and strong soap, to find their father sitting expectantly on his throne.
Nerea?
The king nods at his eldest daughter.
Father, I gift you a shiny rock?
Isaro stands on tiptoe and peers into her sister's hands.
Why would a queen need a shiny rock?
Isaro?
The king's mustache twitches.
Let her finish, Chiki.
Aita, I give you a compass. A queen needs to serve as a guide to all the people of her kingdom.
She makes a graceful curtsy.
Sekulako! Excellent, Nerea.
Thunder rumbles in the distance as the king gives a proud nod and turns to Isaro.
And you, Chimino, what have you brought me, little monkey?
She skips past her sisters, clutching a large painted jar.
Aita, I gift you the earth!
The earth?
Ta-da! Earthworms!
She lifts the lid with a flourish. As behind her, Nerea gags, Laia giggles, and Stubby's belly growls.
They're perfect! big. They make the soil rich and squeaky clean, just like when I am queen. I promise to keep our kingdom strong and super tidy.
Thank you, Isaro. A clean, healthy kingdom is rather important.
The king catches Laia's eyes. A flash illuminates the entire throne room as she steps forward, eyes shining like jewels.
I have the best gift for you, Aita. Stories!
Laia fondly pats her notebook.
These are all the stories I've ever written. Funny ones, exciting ones with evil dragons and magic armies and—
Enough, Laia!
The king silences her with a raised hand.
Stories are wonderful, Kuchuna, but better suited to children than queens.
Laia's heart sinks all the way down to her toes.
Aye. Laia, you can't possibly guide an entire kingdom while stuck in the clouds with goddesses and— Is that a turtle volcano?
He turns the page sideways and squints before closing the notebook with a bang.
But I thought stories are everything. They can teach us and it's—
Laia, I said enough.
The king thunders along with the growing storm.
Or rather, your gift is not enough. Certainly not for a queen.
He holds the offending notebook out to his daughter.
Yes, I thought.
She clutches her stories tight to her chest and steps back in line. Stubby gives her ear a supportive tongue flick as the king smiles at his remaining daughters and briskly claps his hands.
All right, now come, my queens of worms and all things sensible. Your kingdom awaits.
After the storm has blown itself off to some other land, Laia plunks her journal on her nightstand and clicks off the light. She lays her head next to the little ball of lizard already snoring away on her pillow and tries to erase the day from her mind.
Are you awake?
Isato leaps from her bed and lands smack in the middle of her sister's stomach.
Ow, get off! Ugh.
Laia swats her away, but Isato grabs her sister's notebook and dangles it in front of her face.
Will you read to me?
I want to hear one of your stories.
She snuggles down next to Stubby, gently stroking his tiny claws. Laia tucks her knees under her chin.
You heard Aita. Stories are for babies, not queens.
Suddenly, the mattress creaks yet again.
We heard what Aita said, and now we want to hear your words.
Nerea kisses her sister's hair.
Yeah, you can eat one of my worms for courage.
Isato smacks her lips as Laia plucks the journal out of her grasp.
Fine, but only if you promise not to feed me any worms.
Deal!
Isato's cheer morphs into a yawn, and with her sisters and lizard nestled close around her, Laia begins to read.
Charge! The Earth Goddess urged her warriors toward the volcanic turtle, blasting their shields with lava.
Waves!
Mari clicked her wrist, and instantly her soldiers transformed into an army of waves that grew as tall as the sky.
Enough!
Mari shot out of the angry sea, cutting through the great clouds of steam billowing from the extinguished beast.
You are still Earth's child, my child!
The monstrous turtle let out a pitiful moan. Mari eyed it sternly before reaching beyond the clouds and gently pressing a fistful of stardust into its scorched side. Ha ha! She pulled her hand away as a flowering vine sprouted from the wound. The creature huffed, eyes growing wide as a kaleidoscope of butterflies fluttered from its nostrils and settled in the garden, taking root on its shell. See? I can help you, but only if you let me. And with a snap of her fingers, the sun fell into the sea, the moon blinked to life amid an ocean of stars, and turtle, earth goddess, and butterflies alike drifted off into a deep, peaceful sleep.
Laia gently closes her notebook and grins at where her sisters lay snoring and likely riding butterfly burping turtles through their dreams. Her heavy eyes are far too tired to notice the tall, mustachioed figure standing just outside the open door, tear-stained cheeks glistening in the glow of the silver moon. The next day, Plopped once more in the sun-warmed sand, Laya's hand moves gracefully across the page, mirroring the ebb and flow of the shimmering waves. Stubby sprawls at her side, dozing and soaking up the sun, when a pair of large, hairy feet startle him awake.
Aita?
Laya hastily closes her notebook.
May I sit with you?
At her nod, the king flops down and digs his toes into the sand.
Juki, I want to tell you a story.
But you said...
I know what I said.
He smiles sadly and takes her hand.
But still, I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a proud, arrogant king with a patchy mustache and a hideous, crooked wart on the end of his hideous, crooked nose.
He winks and Laya grins.
Then one day, a young girl appeared at court and said,
My king, I have this most wonderful gift for you. Take it and you will rule forever.
But the king simply laughed. And because he thought himself much, much wiser than a silly peasant girl, the foolish king said,
Your worthless nonsense is of no interest to me. Now off to the dungeon with you for a million years.
But before the guards could drag her away, the clever girl ripped the lid off her basket, and from it sprang a whole galaxy of stars. They twinkled and danced before forming a ring above her head and crowning the true, just ruler of the kingdom forevermore.
Se coloco ita. But does this mean what I think it means?
It means you are right, Kuichuna. And your proud, arrogant king was wrong. You and Mari and her angry lava turtle proved that stories are...
Everything! They wow us, they help us dream and show us how to live.
The king gently pulls her in for a hug.
Bye, Kuichuna. And I can't possibly think of a guide better fit for a queen. Can you forgive me?
Laya pulls back and squints slyly.
Maybe, but only if you help me write another story.
Another story?
The king tosses her lightly into the air.
Uh-huh. One with lizards and an ogre king with a bushy mustache. Oh, and a queen of worms and shiny rocks.
The king's smile sparkles like the sea.
And most certainly, a queen of stories.
The end. So, what did you think of the story?
I've got a story for you. Once upon a time, there was a super adorable, fantastic caterpillar and a big, mean, giant chicken that had the biggest fight in the history of the Galactiverse and never spoke again. The end!
Oh, Snake, you're still pretty upset, huh? Oh, I think Sparky's trying to say something. Ready, Bean?
Giant chicken ears activated. Boop. Go ahead, Spark. She says, but sneaky cheeky, think about the king in the story.
He told Laya that her stories were as silly as a soup sweater. Kinda like someone else I know whose name rhymes with Sharky.
Yeah, but then he actually tried fishing shoes on. Oh, no. Listening to one.
I guess. Yes, watercress. That probably means that Sparkykins and me should give each other's ideas a chancy-wancy. Oh, maybe we can make a double-decker skateboard with a popsicle stick deck and a crispy green sunroof. Someone get me a glue gun!
Okay, we have at least one great unstick trick for when someone shoots down your idea.
Calmly and firmly encourage them to, like, give it a try before dismissing it.
You got that right, Lush Light. And now it's time for even more unsticky trickies.
Here's Alexa from ABC Story Sisters, as well as our friends Eve and Daniel with what they recommend.
Hi, I'm Alexa Robinson. I'm 12 years old, and I'm one of the ABC Story Sisters. When somebody shoots down my idea, I'm a little offended, but then I wait and see what they have to say, and then we talk about whose idea may be the better choice.
And go away, dog. My name is Eve and I'm 7 years old. What do you do when someone shoots down your idea? I tell myself it was a good idea. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. But I liked it. And that's what matters most.
Hi, my name is Daniel and I'm 12. If someone's pushing down your ideas, you should try the idea on your own. If that doesn't work, you should get an adult involved, someone you trust who's fair to both sides.
Hop, hooly, nooly, ding dong. What a bunch of smarty, farty pants. Oopsie, poopsie, and a sneaky, peeky, farty pants, too.
Ew, gross. Anyway, thanks, Alexa, Eve, and Daniel. Those were all really great ideas.
And listeners, if you have an unstick trick you use when someone dismisses your idea, we'd love to hear about it. Send your grown-ups to storypillar.com/unstick tricks. Okay, that's it. We finished our 5th episode of Story Pillar Season 3.
Hot prickly tickly worm wheels, self-high. Wham!
Worms don't like have wheels. They're worms.
You're a worm!
Okay.
Okay, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll have new episodes for you the first 3 Mondays of every month.
Sneak attack! On the first Monday,
a full episode with stories and unstick tricks on the second,
and a banometer check on the third Monday.
Grownups, head to ko-fi.com/storypillar if you're willing to support more fantasterific episodes, and don't forget to check out our online Storypillar store. Head to storypillarstore.threadless.com for t-shirts, mugs, puzzles, and other great Storypillar swag. As always, a giant thank you to Andy Jobe and Susanna Bridges for their work on our theme song. An extra special shout out to the amazing Megan Cahill Asenza for co-writing our story today, and a gigantorific high five to Neve McAuliffe for taking charge of our audio.
And grown-ups, don't forget to skip your scooty tooties on over to Instagram.
Still not an actual thing.
That's what you think, chicken sink.
Our handle is @StoryPillar. You can also follow Mackenzie Ellison, who does our awesome episode cover art, @MKEllisonArt, or check out MKEllisonArt.com. Ready to say goodbye?
Bye! I love you!
Bye. Come back next time if you want to.
Bye, everyone. Remember, having someone shoot down your idea is tough. Try firmly asking them to give it a chance. Or, like Alexa, Daniel, and Eve suggested, you can ignore them, listen to their perspective, or simply try your idea out on your own. Remember, if you believe in yourself, others likely will too. Whatever you choose, you got this, and we'll be here cheering you on.